This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Lord, help us to be more like you. As men, as women, as children, as youth, help us to be, Lord Jesus, more like you. You know, when you think about the qualities of the Lord and how he wants to reproduce those in our lives by his Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. As we're filled with his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and as we're conformed to the image of Christ, how much better, sweeter life is for us on the inside and for the people around us too. Yeah. This is entitled Dad's Words of Wisdom. Have you heard a dad say these words of wisdom before? Some of them I bet you have. Because I'm your dad, that's why. Be careful, the roads are always slickest when it first starts to rain. I've got two permit drivers right now in my house. I have said that recently. Moms were quoted this way. It's also true for dads. We've heard it many times. I brought you into this world. How about this one? Learn to stand on your own two feet. I got a daughter gymnast, and I can say to her, learn to stand on your own two hands. She can walk all over the house on her hands. Recently, her older sister Trinity was playing softball, and she was at the softball field, and she was getting more attention than the game because all around the ballpark, all around, she just kept walking on her hands without stopping. Gracie, learn to stand on your own two hands. All right. Oh, I like this one. I do this a lot. Go ask your... Yep. I don't want to be responsible for that. I told you there needs to be two Mother's Days. I told you. A man in this church has told me this one. My dad used to tell me this one. Look people straight in the eye and give them a firm handshake. Mm-hmm. Hey, a little pain never hurt anybody. Come on, get up. Be tough. Don't you make me stop this car. This will hurt me a lot more than... No, we're not there yet. Don't be a sissy. I played basketball from age 10 to age 20, grade school, middle school, high school, first year in college. And my dad would come to the games, and he loved basketball, and he loved me playing basketball, and he would embarrass me so bad. The things he would say from the stands, from the bleachers. I used to wonder why we needed a coach. Dad was right up there behind. And when I was slacking a little bit on the court, he would say, this don't be a sissy reminds me of this. Don't be the weak sister on the team, he would say. Don't be the weak sister. And you know, I don't think I realized till I was a senior, what does he mean by weak sister? I finally got it. Anyway. Big kids don't cry. Yeah. Dads say this. I'm not sure it's exactly how the Lord said it. If he hits you, go hit him back. Yeah, moms say this one too. Were you raised in a barn? Just shake it off and move on. Yeah, as long as you live under my roof, you'll live by my... Wipe that smile off your face. You know, I hated it when my dad was serious and reprimanding me, and for whatever insane reason, a smile or grin or smirk would come to my face. I really didn't want to, because my dad would say, wipe that smile off your face. And how did you all finish that? He never said that. He just did it. Wow. Wipe that smile off your face. Kablam. Oh, this is good. No, I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes. And if your friend jumps off a bridge, would you do it too? Yeah. You're only young once. And boy, aren't we glad too. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's only blood. What do you think I am, a bank? Do you really think money grows on trees? This is a nice one to end with. As long as you really tried your hardest, that's all that matters. There you go. Yep. And will not the judge of all the earth do right, and will not our heavenly Father, when we stand before him, he will be the perfect, fair, just, righteous, merciful, thankfully compassionate judge. And none of us are going to be compared to each other in the judgment, are we, before the Lord? We are going to be judged by the individual opportunities, talents, gifts that we were given and what we did with that. How many times does the Bible tell us not to compare ourselves with each other? We're to look to Christ, and we're each made uniquely. We're each that individual snowflake, aren't we? And the Lord is going to be so fair and so right in the way that he takes an account of our life. None of us are the same. None of us have the same path to walk. It's how each one of us individually followed by faith our Heavenly Father. That's how we'll be evaluated. Yep. This is sweet, and I want to read it. And it's true. This is a father graded on the curve, the age curve. 4 years old. My daddy can do anything. 7 years old, my daddy knows a lot, a whole lot. 11 years old, my dad doesn't quite know everything. 15, oh well, naturally, father doesn't know about that either. 18, oh dad, he is hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years, oh, that man, he is so out of date. 30 years old, maybe I should find out what Dad thinks about it. 40 years old, before we make a decision, let's get Dad's thoughts first. 50 years old, what would Dad have thought about that? 60 years old. My dad, He really knew a lot. 70 years old. I sure wish I could talk it over with Dad. One more time. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a Heavenly Father that we can talk to. And didn't we talk about that last week, practicing the presence of Jesus and persisting in prayer? This week, we're going to look at a few simple verses from Scripture. And each one of them will have somewhere in them the words children of God. And in the next few minutes, the Bible is so clear and so simple on so many issues. And we're going to consider verses that include the phrase children of God. And we're going to ask and answer the question, how to become a child of God and how to behave as a child of God. How to become a child of God, how to behave as a child of God. I need you to be at the Gospel of John in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 10. Some verses on children of God and how to become a child of God. John 1:10, He, Jesus, was in the world. We love Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. He came into the world. And though the world was made through Him, in the beginning, God, Elohim, plurality and unity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all attributed with creation. And after all, we only have one God, not three. All three persons of the one triune God attributed with creation. Jesus made the world. This isn't the only place in Scripture that says that, He being very God. He came into His world and He had made the world, but the world didn't recognize Him by and large. Verse 11, He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Verse 12, how do I become a child of God? Many of you have this memorized. Yet to all who did receive Him, what does it mean to receive Jesus? It means to believe in His name. What is His name? It is the name that is the name above every name, Philippians 2. That at the name of Jesus, every knee someday will bow and every tongue confess that He's Lord. To those who believe in His name, what is His name? His name means God saves. Jesus means God saves. In the Christmas story, Joseph was told by the angel, don't name him Joseph Jr. You name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. And if we could save ourselves, then Jesus would never have had to come. We need a Savior. We're sinners who need a Savior. So to all who will receive Jesus, the way you receive him is to believe in his name. What does it mean to believe in his name? His name represents all that he is, all that he says, all that he does. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in his name. And when you believe in Jesus and receive him by faith, you become what at the end of verse 12? Children of God. Now, I know people tell me the Bible is so hard to understand, and I know that there are places that are harder to sift through. But just like people who say the Bible is full of contradictions, people who say the Bible is too hard to understand are generally people who never open it and read it. And people who say the Bible is full of contradictions are people who have not studied it. This is 40 human authors under one divine author, God Himself, written over 1,500 years from Genesis to Revelation on three continents, and the whole thing, all 66 books, all 1,100 and some chapters, all 31,000 verses, they all fit together perfectly. The more you study it, the more you see that. How hard is it to become a child of God? Those who will believe who Jesus is, what He said, what He did. By believing in Him, by faith, you receive Him. into your life. You become a child of God. Then everything else follows. This is the starting place. This is faith. Almost 300 times throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, we're told that we're saved by faith. Then everything else follows. Please look at Galatians 3. After John comes Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. What we were reading was from God through John. What we're reading now is from God through Paul. And guess what? It will agree. Look what Paul writes in Galatians 3:26. You are all sons of God, children of God. You become a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you humble yourself before God and admit your need. Children, little children are so helpless. They need us. God says you need to become that way in all your pride and in all your greed and in all your self-made stuff. You humble yourself, Jesus said. Unless you humble yourself like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 26. Even a child can understand this, and they do. In Awana Club, in Sunday school, at home. Galatians 3:26. The Bible says you become a son of God, a child of God, children of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. That means you trust Him. That means you depend on Him. That means you lean on Him. That's how you become a child of God. Now, a little bit earlier in the chapter, Paul explains this a little bit more. And he goes back to the Old Testament to connect it all. Clear back to the first book. Look at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. Paul invites us to think about Abraham. Well, Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Consider Abraham way back in Genesis. And Paul quotes Genesis 15:6. The Bible says at the beginning of the Bible that salvation is by faith, by belief, because in Genesis 15:6 it says Abraham believed God, trusted God, had faith in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. When we trust Christ, He bore our sins in His body on the cross. He takes our sin, He gives us His righteousness. As believers, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the Bible says. As God's children, we can go to a holy heaven, we can be a part of a holy divine family, we can live in a holy place someday because we're clothed in the holiness of Christ, who takes our sin and gives us His righteous holiness. That's what the good news of the gospel is. So Abraham believed God, followed God by faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. If you know the story of Abraham's life, he made a lot of mistakes. So do you and I. We blow it a lot. But Abraham was still saved by trusting God, and so are you and so am I. So Paul wants us to understand something from Abraham. Understand then that those who believe are the children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify or declare righteous even Gentiles. What's a Gentile? Anybody that's not a Jew. God would justify the Gentiles by faith, along with Abraham's descendants, the Jews, and the Arabs, and everybody else. God would declare righteous all people by faith, and He announced the gospel in advance, way back in Genesis, to Abraham, when He said, all nations, Abraham, will be blessed through you, because through you and your descendants, I'm going to send a Savior, and I'm going to send the Scriptures. And through Israel, my chosen but stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious people, Abraham, through your descendants, Israel, I'm going to bless the whole world with the Savior and with the Scriptures, and I'm going to save Gentiles, and I'm going to save the children of Abraham that will have Jesus, who are Arabs, as well as Jews, as well as Americans, as well as Chinese. So, verse 9, look at it, Galatians 3. So those of us who have faith, Paul says, in Christ, we're blessed right along with Abraham, who was a man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. It is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You cannot be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments because you can't keep them. The Ten Commandments are God's righteous standard. We all break them. So the Savior came and he fulfilled God's law, and then he died for everybody who breaks it. Look at verse 11. Paul writes, clearly no one is justified or declared righteous before God by the law, because the just will live by faith. That's out of the prophets in the Old Testament. That's from Genesis. That's not new in the New Testament. Salvation's always been by faith. Abel, the son of Adam, trusted God and did the right thing. Cain wanted to come to God by his own works, and look how Cain ended up. If we could be right with God and go to heaven by keeping the law, then Jesus did not need to come. If you can be saved by your good works, people say, well, what if my good outweighs my bad? Believe me, before a holy God who knows it all, he knows the intents of your heart, the attitudes. He knows our thoughts before we think them, words before we speak them. He knows everything about us. Even when we do good things, we so often do it for selfish motives. God knows it all, believe me, before a holy God and a holy heaven and a holy throne of judgment, your good will not outweigh your bad. It won't. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There is none righteous, no, not one. You might feel like your good outweighs your bad if you compare yourself to the neighbor down the road who's worse than you, if he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not. The point is, you can't be saved by good works or by keeping the law. You fall short. All have sinned and fall short. So Paul is telling us we get saved the same way Abraham did way back in Genesis. We get saved by faith, trusting God to take away our sin and give us his righteousness. Look at verse 24 of Galatians 3. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Why was the law given to lead us to Christ? The law was given to show us how good God is and how good we're not. The law was given to lead us to a Savior, because it shows us we're sinners so that we can be declared righteous by faith. And then we come to verse 26 again. How do you become a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God? How do you become children of God? Through faith in Christ. There it is. Hebrews chapter 2. Go towards the end of your New Testament, a little bit farther. Hebrews is 13 chapters. I bet you can find it in the next 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 2. How about verse 10? We're talking about becoming children of God. We have the Christmas story and we have the Easter story because God wants to save people and make them his children. Look at verse 10 of Hebrews 2. In bringing many sons, many children to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists. See, it's not just Genesis 1:1 that teaches us creation. If you try to say, I'm going to believe in evolution and not creation, a big bang, a soupy pond that everything came from. You're not just getting rid of Genesis 1:1, you're getting rid of every book in the Bible. Creation comes up over and over again. Here it is in Hebrews 2:10. God wants to bring many children to glory in heaven. So the God who created us and created everything that exists, He made the author of our salvation, the Son of God, He made Him to be the perfect sacrifice through His suffering. And look at verse 11. Both the one who makes men holy, both the one who makes men holy, who makes men holy? God, Jesus, our Savior. Both the one who makes men holy, the Lord, and those who are made holy are of the same family, the family of God. So Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brothers. Wait a minute. Jesus is the Son of God, and He suffers to make us holy. And when we place our faith in Him and follow Him, He is not ashamed to call us His brothers in the family of God, and we become sons and daughters of God because of our Savior who suffered. Look at the end of verse 13. Quoting from Isaiah, "Here am I and the children God has given me." We're talking about children of God. All right, verse 14. "Since the children have flesh and blood, mortal, He, the Lord, also shared in our humanity. He was Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus didn't start at Christmas. Jesus eternally existed from eternity past, one with God the Father and God the Spirit. He became humanity so that by His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the evil one, the devil, and He suffered and died. He came for that cross, verse 15, to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The wages of sin is death. We're all decaying and dying because of sin. Jesus came, do you see that in verse 15? To set us free from the fear of sin, guilt, and death, and the devil and hell. Let's go to 1 John. Further back towards the end of your Bible, you will find 1 John, chapter 5, verse 19. We're talking about how to become children of God. If you will, we're letting the Bible tell us how to become children of God. 1 John 5, 19. "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." It is for a time. Christ is coming again. For a time, there's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of spiritual warfare. There's a lot of ugliness. There's a lot of hatefulness. Do you find yourself like me sometimes when you're watching the news because you want to be informed? I don't care if it's international or local. I just get up and turn it off and go do something else because it makes me sick. It makes me sick. I want to be informed, but the news makes me sick. Local, global. It's because Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. He says, I'm not lying to you. In this fallen world you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. The devil has a time, evil has a time. And even though we live in an evil world, verse 19 says, we know that we are children of God. Now that is confidence. Blessed assurance we were singing earlier. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We know that we are children of God. That sounds prideful, doesn't it? Isn't that presumptuous? But the Apostle John writes it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that we are children of God. Really? And then he told us earlier why we're so confident. Look back at verse 11, 1 John 5. Look at verse 11, 1 John 5. This is the testimony. This is it. Here's the message. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, Jesus. Verse 12. He who has the Son, Jesus, has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to God but through me. So here it is again. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't. I didn't write this. I didn't make this up. This is what the Bible has said for 2,000 years. How can we know that we're children of God? Because God gives us a gift when we accept it. His Son, the Savior, salvation. When we admit our sin and accept the Savior, we know that we are children of God. That is not pride. That is not presumption. That is simply humbly, literally repeating the promise of the Bible. I, as a Christian, can face death knowing that I have eternal life in Jesus. I'm a child of the King. We sang that and spoke it earlier, a child of the King. Okay, verse 13. I write these things to you. This is the Apostle John. This is the youngest of the 12 disciples who lived out his life to 90-some years when all the rest were martyred for Christ. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of Jesus. John says, if you believe in Jesus like me, I'm writing to you. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. In other words, John says, God does not want you going through this life wondering if you're going to hell or heaven. God is not playing a joke or a game with you. Do you belong to Jesus or do you not? The Apostle John says, if you believe in Jesus, you can K-N-O-W know that heaven is your home. You have eternal life in the Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And so John starts verse 14, this is the confidence we have. This is the confidence we have in Christ. And then he goes on to talk about prayer. How to become a child of God at the beginning of the Bible, how to become a child of God at the end of the Bible, how to become a child of God everywhere in between in the Bible, how to become a child of God in America in 2017. Or way back in Iraq, 4000 BC, where we believe the Garden of Eden was according to locations in the Bible. Everywhere in between, it's always. You can know that you're okay with God if you have Jesus, if you've admitted your sin and accepted him as your Savior. Point two was going to be how to behave like children of God, but we're out of time. And I'm going to give you a Father's Day gift. We're going to pray and we're going to sing. And we're going to go. And another time, we'll talk about how to behave like children of God. Saw lots of simple verses on how to behave now that we are children of God. Lord, we thank you for the clarity of your holy word. Thank you for the promises that you make to us that cannot fail. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like a man. In the Old Testament, you told us through the prophet, I am not a man that I should lie, I am not a man that I should fail to keep my word. Lord, we praise you that you are truthful and that you keep every promise you make. Thank you for coming and dying for us, rising again, that we might believe in you and trust you and look to you and love you and live for you. And thank you, Lord, that we are safe in your hand. Thank you that you are our shepherd and we are secure in your care. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the fear of death and promising us life everlasting with you. You've told us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day for offering us a gift, the gift of your Son, the gift of salvation, the gift of our Savior. Help each one of us to receive that gift. Lord, help us to believe upon you. What you say, what you do, increase our faith. And Lord, you know hearts. And if there's anybody here, you know thoughts. If anybody here, Lord, needs to say, Jesus, please save me today. I admit my sin. I accept you as my Savior. Help them to do that. You're such a good Heavenly Father. Forgive us our shortcomings, our faults, our failures, our sins. Help us to forgive those around us who are also faulty. But Lord, help us as your children to walk with you, talk with you, follow you. Live your life out through us. Help us to live for you. Lord, conform us to your image. Make us different because we're your children. Help us to walk in the light as you're in the light. Help us to be pure. You said, be holy as I am holy. Lord, now that we're in your family by faith, help us to act like we live in your family. Help us to act like you and not the world around us. Help us to act like you, Lord, and not the devil. Fill us with your Spirit and fill our lives with the fruit of your Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such thing, there's no law anywhere. Lord, come into our lives and fill us and make us to be the men and women and youth that you want us to be. And thank you that we can be your children because we trust you. We trust you. Help us to decide to follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.